Merry Christmas. I hope this is inspiring you for the Christmas season. Boy, you just have no idea how much time and preparation it does to pull this all together. And I'm so thankful to everyone who took part in it, playing beforehand, before the service and the pre-service music. I'll just tell you, for next year, we always have really fun family things going from 6:30 to 7. If you want to come and see some funny video clips or hear some people play their trumpets and trombones and clarinets, we kind of put that together pretty quick, and I know you couldn't tell. We're kind of joking around afterwards. We practice, and you know, the response is probably going to be, my, is there no end to those young people's talents? Have you noticed that the decibel level increases during the Christmas season? I don't know about you, but I sure notice it. You go to the shopping mall, they got the music cranked up and just, you know, the most joyous music. And you know, of course, they want you to be in a spirit of buying, right? It makes you want to purchase more and maybe spend more. That's kind of the goal of the Christmas season as far as the merchants are concerned. I realize that's a little cynical, isn't it? But it's still true that the decibel level does increase during the Christmas season. You know, you go home during the Christmas time, and mom's cooking her meals, and pots and pans are clanking around, getting pumpkin pies ready, at least in my house, and hope you have a pumpkin pie. And, you know, so there's all that kind of noise that you have around the kitchen that happens. And, of course, the kids have come home from school. Does the decibel level go up when the kids are home from school? It doesn't have to be at Christmas time. It's all year round. The radios go up a lot higher, the stereo systems. Is that an antiquated word, stereo? Do we still use that? There's still, you know, lots and lots of noise that happens during the Christmas season. And, you know, I'm kind of struck by that because I almost can sense a screaming for silent contemplation during the time of Christmas. It screams at me. You listen to the stories that you've been hearing. Here's Mary going about her business. We don't know how old she was. Some people have speculated she was in her teen years. And she's betrothed to some guy. She's pledged to be married, which I understand is that's par for the course. You got to be 13, 14, 15 years old. You know, you got to 20 and you weren't married yet. Yikes, you know, that was real concern. So here's Mary, just couldn't be a youngster, a teenager, and she's preparing to be married. She's betrothed, which means they're not literally married yet. And all of a sudden, she gets a message from an angel saying, "Guess what, Mary? You're pregnant. And it's not by a guy, but this child is conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And you're going to bear a son, and you're going to name him Jesus." That's a lot for a little girl to take in, isn't it? I imagine Mary wasn't the kind of person. We've seen her portrayed in a lot of pageants and shows, and usually Mary and Joseph are the ones that are sitting up front just pretty much not saying anything while the narrators and everybody else is talking. That makes total sense to me. I'm not sure I'd have a whole lot to say. There's Joseph, same thing. He finds out that Mary's pregnant. Well, guys, what would you do? He's thinking, you know, Mary is such an amazing gal. There's no way I'm going to just divorce her publicly. I'm just going to do this as private as possible. I'm going to keep it quiet. Can you imagine? He just couldn't even tell his best friend what was going on. Quietly contemplated until the angel came and told him, "It's true what Mary told you. She's going to bear a son. You're going to get to be his guardian. And he's going to be the Savior of the world." Put that one in your pipe and smoke it, Joseph. And you might think, well, then there's the angels and the heavenly host coming to the shepherds. And you begin to think, well, gosh, there must have been a lot of ruckus as they're singing, glory to God in the highest and peace among those whom God favors. Must have been pretty noisy. And if I'm a shepherd, my position or disposition in that moment's probably going to be just pure awe. You know, we've all had those instances where you looked up into the skies and maybe got to see an eclipse or something. It's not time to talk. You just observe and watch at those kinds of things. Well, when angels start talking to you, it's probably time just to shut up, not say anything. You never know what they're going to do. So then there's the angelic announcement. What's the context of the situation? Well, the Romans are in control, a government that obviously Israel didn't care for a whole lot. Sounding familiar? We've just gone through an election. Half of the country wants to throw the bums out, and half of the country wanted to throw the previous guys out. It was the same in that time. There was a lot going on politically, a lot of political noise going on, and there was a call for a census. Obviously, to get to find out who's who and where are they and how much money can we collect from these people. So Augustus called a census. A lot of noise politically. And here we have Joseph and Mary and heading down to Bethlehem, his hometown, where he might be registered. Probably not a real exciting time. You know, I don't know about you, but when it's tax time, I don't really want to talk about it a whole lot. I'm sure it was the same way with Mary and Joseph needing to be registered. This isn't a big deal here. It's not something that we're a little charged about. So there's all these things, as I said, that are screaming for not noise, but silent contemplation. And then we're taken to the manger. There was no room for them in the inn. No place to stay. So in my mind, I'm imagining Bethlehem. That probably there were a lot of festivities and things, lots of dinners going on. You know, people just gathering because they hadn't been to their hometown in a while and they were being called there for the census, so they made the best of it. And, you know, let's have a family gathering. And where does Joseph and Mary end up? In a stable. An animal's trough is where they laid the Savior of the world. That calls for serious, silent contemplation. Now, I know that there's a lot of noise going on in our world right now. And there's a lot that you're having to deal with and face. And you're going to have plenty of Christmas parties, maybe starting tonight, maybe tomorrow. Christmas presents under the tree. And you know, I'm not going to try to squelch that and say, don't do that. Enjoy your families. Have a great time. But somewhere in the Christmas season, listen to the Spirit of God's voice call you to that moment of silent contemplation. To recall all these events that have been recorded by people who believed, who saw that these things actually happened and recorded them for us, so that we not might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that through him we might be saved. That is so much bigger than all the noise this world can muster up. And I pray you'll find that time this week to place yourself beside that manger and contemplate what great miracle it is that God would bring his world in such humble circumstances to be our Savior. He is King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Rejoice in that, my friends. In Jesus' name, amen.